flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
If you're not watching on the live stream, you're just missing out on what is perhaps the most elite content in the history of the internet. The proper response to being attacked in the process of various restroom activities.
He's still losing.
2-1, I'm alive.
Still losing. You started
this. I'm alive.
That's all I was going to say is you started this.
What happens if you are attacked while you are standing in the numero uno position? What happens if you are attacked while seated in the numero dos position? How would one handle each of these situations? Oh, at this point, see, I'm the dude that I sit down at a restaurant. All right, I think we've had this conversation, and that's okay. I will sit down at a restaurant, and every time I do, I got this from my dad, because he told me he did it, and I didn't feel bad about it. I will sit down at a restaurant, and when I do, I immediately end up in a spot where I'm like looking around, and I'm like, all right, what's my escape plan? What's my way out of here? If they come in that door, I'm getting over there. I got that table for cover. There's a wall. The kitchen is a viable escape alternative. I got my wife. She's seated to my left. If that comes back, I got to roll over there to get in front of her. Blah blah. I got the whole thing planned out every time. I can tell you this. I am 40 years old. And I'm not saying it can't ever happen. Always be prepared. But I'm 40 years old. I've never been in a situation where I needed to turn into Rambo at a moment's notice. But it's always good to have a plan. Until literally this day, I have never thought, what's my escape plan if I get caught during the call of nature with my pants down, either metaphorically or literally?
Here's what I believe, Rob. I believe we all have a purpose, and sometimes our purpose is not you don't have the sight to see what your purpose is. Some days, like today, in this conversation that was just had on the stream and has now made its way back on to the actual radio show, there's one person out there that this is for. It's not you. It's probably not me. It's probably not Joe or Steven or any of those guys. Just someone who's not even responding on the stream, who may be in a situation today and their life might be saved just by being situationally aware of something that they weren't in the first place.
If any of you are ever seated in the numero dos position and someone kicks open the door to attack you, and you have already come up with your exit plan, and you are able to get out of the seated position safely and escape the restroom because you thought about it due to the Rob Brown Show and the great one Lonzo's bathroom self-defense martial arts class. Congratulations, and you're welcome.
All right, I just got to say, James says, what kind of hooligan starts a fight there? And Joe's response was Eagles fan. There you go. Don't really have to say anything else.
That's actually very fair. That's the correct answer. There was a video yesterday that made the rounds of a guy, a Washington fan, leaving the link after the NFC title game on Sunday, and he was just getting harassed by Eagles fans, which, all right, talking a little smack on the way out the door, sure, got it. But they ended up, one of them ended up running over and like ripping his Commander's hat off and running away with it. Another guy was kind of shoving him around. And then all the other Eagles fans were just laughing at it while it's happening. This is why nobody likes you, Philly. But here's the problem with Philly fans. And the reason that, regardless of my overall opinion of the Chiefs or Lonzo or the refs or anything else, even with the love I have for Saquon Barkley, which is a lot, the love I have for Jalen Hurts, which is a lot, I am still rooting for Kansas City to win the Super Bowl because Eagles fans are the worst people in sports. They're just the worst.
There were never any fights in the restroom at your high school?
I mean, none that I can recall where somebody got caught, again, in the midst of relieving themselves, specifically in the stall variety.
Quite a few, as I recall, at our high school, mostly.
Yeah, but you also had a high school where teachers threw desks at students. We are not the same.
We are not. We know that. It was mostly in the girls' restrooms.
I mean, I guess they need it more than we do. The 50%. I mean, if you're getting jumped
plus,
in the bathroom.
There are no options in the girls' restroom. So, I mean, you know.
All right, we got some other stuff we got to get into. I can't spend the rest of the show talking about bathroom fighting etiquette. But, I mean, we could.
I'm sure there's a Jackie Chan movie out there.
There's got to be an action scene where somebody fights out of a stall, right? There's got to be action movie scene fighting out of bathroom stall. Let's see. Tom Cruise and Henry Cavill had a bathroom stall fight scene in Mission Impossible, one of them. I don't know which one.
Which I mentioned earlier on the stream, which was the best restroom fight that I can recall. And it was an amazing fight.
There is a YouTube Watch Mojo video of the top 10 bathroom fights in movies. We're going to have to power rank those tomorrow. Gosh darn it. This is spiraled.
Your fear of the cracks in the stall brought all this on. So this is your fault.
It's not fear.
I just went with it.
It's desire to not have that anymore. I just don't need somebody giving me the old peekaboo while I'm in there potentially playing peekaboo with myself. I don't need it. Let me have this vulnerable moment to myself without having to lock eyes with some stranger. Because here's the other thing. The lady friend and I were in a hospital the other day. Okay, we had to go visit somebody. We were in the hospital, and as we were walking down the hallway, I hate hospitals. I'm just uncomfortable in hospitals. I'm not afraid to admit it. They make me uncomfortable.
Yeah, okay? I don't think there's anyone who really enjoys
them. Loves them.
Yeah.
As we were walking down, and we were in the a section of the hospital where people are not doing well, right? Like, just bad. And the problem, obviously, is that all the doors are open. And we had the conversation of how many people do you think are capable of walking down that hallway and like not peeping a glance into the door? Like, you shouldn't, right? Someone in there is having probably the worst time of their entire life, like of their entire life. And we are such like, and I don't think this is revealing anything about me. I think this, I could be wrong. I think this is about all of us. I think just about everybody, especially if like a sudden noise or something comes out of one of those rooms, is going to turn the head and take a peek, right? Like you're just, it's almost second nature. And I don't know where that second nature comes from. I theorized that, you know, one of the things that I have found is inherently true about human beings, and I don't find anything wrong with this, is that I think we're all curious about death to some degree, right? Like there is morbid curiosity in most of us, and it comes from any variety of reasons. I think for many of us, I theorize that it is, while we all may have our beliefs about what comes next, none of us truly know what, if anything, comes next. And so I think to face that, and especially to face that by seeing it in real time and putting ourselves in that in those shoes, there's something that just sparks our natural curiosity about that, and you can't help but peek. Right? I'm not saying it's good. You shouldn't. You should have respect for that person that's in that room and is fighting for their lives potentially by not just, hey, what's going on in there? But like sometimes you can't help yourself. I don't need that while my butt cheeks are hanging out. Okay? All right? I don't need it. And I think if people see a closed door, there is some sort of human curiosity of what's happening behind that door that forces some people to just like have their eyes drawn in that direction. And I can tell you that at least once at this radio station, and I shan't say who, but at least once in this radio station, we have two stalls in the upstairs restroom. You gotta walk by number one to get to number two. I can tell you that at least once, the call of nature did not give me enough warning to leave work and go home and give myself home field advantage during that activity. And at least one time, at least one person that works in this building, 100%. Locked one eye, because it's just a little crack, but locked one eye with me while I'm sitting in there. And I genuinely have never been that uncomfortable.
I just want to point out, it was not me.
It was not Lonzo.
Because I wouldn't do that.
It was not Lonzo.
I look for feet.
And in fact, I will go so far as to tell you, it was someone from our downstairs portion of the office that this happened.
Well, that's not true.
Mainly because Rob Brown's no idiot, and if he knows he's got to spend some level of extended time in a restroom, I go to the one downstairs. Because I know the people that work upstairs, and I don't want to be in that bathroom even if nothing's happening in there for any extended period of time. I don't know what lingering damage has been done that might do damage to me.
What you're saying is you're not one of us.
In that regard, no. There are some people in this upstairs portion of the building that I am genuinely concerned
Dude,
about their health and well-being.
I have been downstairs before and have... It's been worse than anything that happened upstairs.
So. Abso-freaking-lutely not. Absolutely not. Not even close.
Well, that's your experience.
So, the point here is...
I've been here 20 going on 26 years, Rob.
I have been downstairs.
There's been some hosses working downstairs. Not right now.
Yeah, they're all upstairs. I have been in the restroom downstairs and had at least one... None of you care about this. I don't even know where we're talking about it, but here we are. I have been
you
in the bathroom
You were moving
downstairs.
Away from it, and you decided to come back
You
to
brought
it.
Me back, and I was utilizing... Stall numero uno, because, you know, I am him. I try not to use the handicap stall unless it's just the only option, all right? I'm using restroom numero uno, the regular stall, and one person from downstairs not only walked by me to go to the handicap stall, no problem, but as I looked out of the little crack, I saw a face looking back into the little crack. And I need you to know, and this is true, I haven't spoken to that person since. This was probably like summer last year. I have not spoken to that person since then.
Do they still work here?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Yep. Sure do. I have not spoken to that individual since, and I'm going to be honest. If they call, and I have to imagine.
Did they tell me I was on the wrong side of radio?
Did they tell you that?
I was trying. I remember I told you who said that to
me. Oh, no.
I was trying to see if it was that person.
I'm not going to give any hints. All I'm going to say is...
That's, you know, I just...
If my phone rang right now and it was that person and they were like, hey, Rob Brown, I have an endorsement that's going to pay you 10 grand a month, I would have to mentally prepare myself to answer that phone call.
Come on. It's 10,
because of that eye contact.
It's 10 grand, dude. You're doing
because
that.
Of that eye contact.
You're doing that.
That eye contact.
Just wear your sunglasses. You don't have to look at the guy.
That eye. It's just the knowledge that eye contact damaged me as a person. All right. It just, it did something to my psyche that has not recovered yet. All right. We got to take a break. When we come back here in just a minute from right now, I got a few more things that I want to get through and burn through. We had, again, a handful more NFL coaches that were introduced yesterday.
Are you going to get to Jacksonville? Are you not playing that cut?
To Jacksonville?
You're not playing
oh,
that?
Yeah.
I was going to say, this is one thing that everyone's playing that I really think we should participate in.
You think I won't take the opportunity to dunk on the butthole of America? That's a weird way to say that sentence. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate, if I'm still employed here. All right. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It is the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Great to be with you. I'm Rob, the great one. Lonzo on the ones and twos. A lot going on from yesterday. NFL head coaches being introduced from all around these great United States. And one of them was Liam Cohen. Liam Cohen is the former offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He is now the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And if you have missed out on the saga about Liam Cohen, it was an interesting story. Liam Cohen was the OC at Tampa. He had done some interviews with some teams. He came back and apparently he told head coach Todd Bowles that he had changed his mind and he was going to stick around at Tampa. Well, shortly after he told Todd Bowles that he was going to be sticking around with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Shad Khan of the Jacksonville Jaguars gave him a buzz and say, hey, big dog, tell you what. What if we get rid of our GM? What if we move on from our GM, Trent Baalke, who Jaguars fans have been ready to move on for a hot minute. So what if we move on from Trent Baalke? And also, what if we give you, and hear me out on this, a lot of money? And Liam Cohen said, yeah, I would reconsider. So he flew back to Jacksonville. He spent some more time, and then he accepted their head coaching job. Well, the whole time he was having this interaction with the Jacksonville Jaguars, apparently the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, the place he was employed at the time, couldn't get a hold of him. He just straight up ghosted him. Ignoring text, ignoring phone calls, didn't have his location turned on, yada, yada, yada. They just could not find the guy. Well, turns out the reason they couldn't find him is because he was hanging out with Shad Khan and accepting the Jags job. Now, I'll be straight up with you. I don't really care. Yeah, the Jags wanted him, or excuse me, the Bucks wanted him back, sure. Yeah, let's keep it a buck. Liam Cohen, when Dave Canales left Tampa Bay to go take over in Carolina, a lot of people said, can they run it back with Bake without Dave Canales? And the answer to Liam Cohen was, yeah, they sure can, and they sure did. So I'm not all out on Liam Cohen as potentially a guy who could elevate Trevor Lawrence to where I and no one else thinks Trevor Lawrence can be elevated to. Well, yesterday, Liam Cohen was introduced, and I'm not going to play you his whole press conference. I'm not even going to play you one segment of his press conference. I'm just going to play you the only 4 seconds of his press conference that ultimately matters. And I forgot to change the thing over. I'm getting my butt whooped today. I'm going to play you the only 4 seconds of the press conference that matters. No, Liam. No. No.
I've never understand that. No. The Duval thing has to do with their county, right?
They are in Duval County.
I mean,
and because
who else is arrogant enough to only to make the name of their county a thing?
There's actually a reason for this. As somebody who lived there, it is because the butthole of America, Jacksonville, Florida, is one of the reasons that it is to me, and I mean this. This part is not even like me being haha funny. It's just a crappy city. And part of the reason it's a crappy city is because it's spread out 100 miles in every direction. If you want to do anything, you are getting on the interstate for it. There's nowhere to go from A to B in Jacksonville that you don't get on the interstate. That city is Duval County. Like, the whole county is Jacksonville. Jacksonville's the whole county. And so because of that, the Jacks fans have adopted Duval as their thing. Now, if you've heard them do it before, and I have because I live there, they go, Duval!
Yeah, but why?
Duval! Duval. That is what the kids call negative aura.
I will say, I think both ways are stupid because I just don't understand. I mean, do we go Greenville? Does everyone do that? Or Lawrence? Or Clinton?
Again.
I mean, do we do that? No.
I don't have an issue
Pickens
with them shouting the county, because if you just said,
but where else do they do that at?
Lonzo, of all the people on planet Earth who shouldn't hate a thing because a very small number of people do it, it's you. It's you. You should be celebrating the fact that they have found their own thing. It makes them different, and they're leaning into it. That's what we do.
I don't.
That's the whole show.
I don't get what you're referencing.
Who else does a radio show like us? Nobody. And we celebrate it. We win awards because of it, but we celebrate it. I don't even care. As much as I hate Jacksonville and everything in it, around it, and connected to it, the Duval thing, I respect. It's their little chant. It's their little cheer.
So when you live there, and I realize that this is a part of your life you try not to talk about but still talk about all the time, did you yell Duval like when you entered the bar?
No, because I hated it when I lived there. I hated it worse after the reason that I had to leave there. But
why are you defending it?
Because I like that. I like when communities have their own little thing and they don't give a damn about it. Do you not think it's really dumb? Everyone else in America thinks it's dumb that you guys go, the Ohio State University.
No, because...
But you're good with that. No, you're the only ones who do it. That makes it bad, right?
No, because I've explained it many times. I just don't think you actually listen. There are more than one Ohio University.
And there's more than one county in Florida.
Well, it sounds... That's the only one we know.
Not me.
Well, of course, because you live there, Arcosa, but I don't...
Escambia, Escambia, Santa Rosa.
Yeah, okay. All right.
The point here is...
I don't hear anyone going, Arcosa! I think I said it right. I'm not sure.
So, I am good with the whole Duval thing. In fact, I think it's kind of cool that they have, as much as I hate that city. Actually, for the record, I actually don't hate the Jaguars. I just hate the city they're in.
Would
I don't
you,
have an issue with Jacksonville.
Though, don't ever let that sound die, because that's the sound of Jacksonville to me now, forever.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yep.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Liam. You had an opportunity. I'm going to tell you right now.
Ooh, maybe we can get Creepy Weather Guy to say it that way.
I'm going to tell you right now. Liam Cohen, if you would have stepped up to that mic the first time you were introduced as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, if you'd have stepped up, if you'd have grabbed that mic, if you'd have gone 10 toes in the sand and with your whole chest went, Duval, you would have become an instant, immediate legend to those people. You would have been right. You would have been over, as we dorks in the wrestling world say. You would have become the biggest babyface in Jayville, in Duval. But instead, you grab the mic. He does this like little smirk head turn thing. No, the emphasis is on the do, not the vol. Duval. You got it backwards. Liam, this is, I want a coach who connects with the city. I want a coach who understands the culture. This is why Dan Campbell right now is so beloved in Detroit Rock City. He is so beloved in Detroit Rock City. Because I think, and I think it's fair to say, Dan Campbell has embraced that kind of blue-collar, gritty business, lunch pail, go to work and grind and then die mentality of Detroit, Michigan. He's embraced that. He is that culture, and those people all wrap themselves up in him. You get a guy like Ed Orgeron. Oh, no, I'm going to go Tigers. He shows up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and to this day, anytime that there's a coach opening in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, the Bayou Bengal fans are like, I don't know, anybody call Coach O? The man ingrained himself in that culture. Jimmy Johnson, when he was in Miami, they still love him down there. Why? Because he looked around and said, hey, probably ain't for me, but I'm going to dive in. I want a coach who represents the culture of the fan base. I want a coach who understands not just the team, but we love our sports teams because they are an outward representation of who we are. You know why we hate bandwagon fans? It's not because bandwagon fans are just always celebrating championships or natties or whatever. We hate bandwagon fans because when bandwagon fans jump from one bandwagon to the next, the spot that they, the thing that they are, at least to us, exclaiming is, there is nothing about me that makes me unique or special or like a thing. I just like to go where we party all the time. There's nothing special. If I tell you that I am a dyed-in-the-wool, born and bred, wrapped in a Saints blanket the day I was born New Orleans Saints fan, you can make certain cultural assumptions about me, and you're probably right. You're probably right. If you tell me that you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan and have been for life, I can make certain cultural assumptions about you, and I'm probably right. Doesn't mean I'm going to be spot on 100%, but I'm probably right. And this is why coaches, the great coaches, I mean this, the great coaches, I think, lean into the culture and they want to make sure that the people in that city feel like they are connected to their team. And if there is one driving force for us that makes us feel connected to each other or a team or whatever, it's our sense of community. And in some cases, tribalism, but our sense of community, right? If I am out and about and somebody tells me, you know, if I'm traveling and somebody goes, oh, I see your Triumph jersey. I'm from Greenville. I'm like, oh, what up? You're from Greenville. That's awesome. And I have that connection with them. And then you can go one step further. If they go, yeah, I live in Taylor's. Now I'm like, oh, damn. Right? Because we're from the same hood. We rep the same hood, man. And then if they say, I'm from your specific neighborhood. Now I'm like, oh, now we're buddies. I don't know anything about you, but we're buddies. We connect over that stuff. And so when I got a guy who has an opportunity on day one to show up to a flailing franchise that has all the optimism in the world, they've got talent. They've got an owner who, even if he's divested, is at least willing to spend some money. They've got, they believe, some of us do, some of us don't, but they believe a franchise quarterback down there in Jacksonville, or at least a guy who could be developed into one. This dude grabbed the mic and could have given them a from-the-chest Duval and had his moment. And instead, he... That ain't it, bud. That ain't it, Liam. This day has largely been about culture, atmosphere, environment. This day has largely and primarily been about, you know, what makes franchises work and not work and all that. And that's all well and good. That ain't it. That ain't it. That's how you get your fan base to go, do you know what it is that we do here? Now, in fairness, if he shows up and Trevor Lawrence is in a Pro Bowl next year and the Jags win the AFC South next year and they're competing for some, you know, for some AFC title games in the next year or two, then all that goes out the window. But man, it is hard to thrive when the community at large is not behind you. And that is second to Jerry Jones' thing from earlier of the most awkward thing that an NFL official did yesterday. All right, we got a few more actual sports topics to talk about when we come back. Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show, wraps up next on the Fan Upstate. You know, we talked earlier in the show. The NFL has an image problem right now, and I don't think that's shocking to anybody. The NFL has an image problem right now. And the image problem for the NFL, in my opinion, is a big one. It is a massive image problem for the NFL. Whether or not it's earned is up to you to decide. But what I do know is that right now, if you go onto any social media platform and you look at any post the NFL is making right now, especially if it's from the AFC title game or the AFC divisional round game, you will notice that a massive chunk, the majority of the reactions and comments to these posts are NFL fans saying, it's rigged. The call is in. The jig is up. We see it now. We're out. There is a swath of fans. Now, I don't believe that this is going to have an impact, but I also didn't believe that the college football championship was going to see an impact, and it very did, a 12% drop in viewership because of the wait time. Well, if you listen to the people that were saying so, the 11-day wait from the semi to the natty caused a 12% drop in viewership. Will there be a even close to equivalent drop in the Super Bowl audience this year? I don't know. What I do know is whether it is correct or not, the NFL has an image problem. And I pointed out that during that game, while one of the controversial calls was being discussed on the broadcast, there was a field level view of Arrowhead, and there was a big old BetMGM logo advertisement on that big oval jumbotron that's over Arrowhead, which was a, let's say, less than opportune time for that particular advertisement to be displayed, because a lot of people are making the connection that now that sports gambling is legal and now that sports gambling has a massive foothold in terms of partnerships with the National Football League, there is a belief that the NFL, if it's not outright rigging games, is at least influencing them. Now, again, I personally do not believe that there is some grand conspiracy in order to change or influence the outcome of games. I have stood on for a very long time. The number of people who would have to be involved with that is a number that I don't believe is capable of keeping a secret. The NBA had a problem with one ref that we know of in Tim Donaghy. And that got blown open. That was a guy. That was one guy. And that got blown open. The NFL would have to have multiple people involved. And I don't think that they could get away with that. But what I do think is that the people who have had a complaint, and we're not going to get into the are they right or are they not, because right now in this, that's largely irrelevant. There's a large number of people who believe that over the years, but in this point of the conversation, this year certainly, that certain calls from certain officials have helped out the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, one of those calls was the Josh Allen not first down in the AFC title game. And I'm going to be honest with you. I spent a lot of time looking at that yesterday. And I found camera angles that had me convinced it was a first down and a blown call. And I found camera angles that I went, maybe not. Maybe that's not it. Maybe that's not a first down. But I also had to keep reminding myself that all of these camera angles are taken from different spots. There is not a definitive line on the field that you can go, if it crosses here, it's a first down. It is an imaginary plane from stick to stick, one side of the field to the other. So whether it was or it wasn't, even that to some degree is irrelevant to the conversation. What is relevant to the conversation is that a massive amount of NFL fans believe that the Chiefs have been given an unfair advantage this year over other teams based on the whistles. And the point that I wanted to make here was the fact that this is, at least in this one call's regard, easily fixable. It's easily fixable. I was scrolling a couple of days ago, I was scrolling social media because I don't have a life. And I came across a clip, and it was an equipment manager for, if I recall correctly, the Seattle Seahawks. And he was giving a demonstration of how some of the equipment that they utilize in order to make sure that the football team and football players have what they need, where they need, when they need it. And one of the things that I thought was very interesting was he showed off a pair of cleats that I believe DK Metcalf likes. And he pulled these cleats out. He went and they had this big rolling rack of shoes. These enormous sliding stand-up, I don't even know what to call them, shelving units. And he walked over and he slid one open and he pulled out a Nike box and he said, these are the cleats that DK Metcalf likes to wear. And these are the cleats that he's going to wear today. And he walked it over to a desk and he goes, this is what we call the, and he named the system. It's called like the super locker or something like that. And he opened it and he said, we're going to go to DK's profile here. And we're going to open DK's profile and we're going to scan these cleats in. And it does a couple of things. Number one, it tells us who's got what equipment at any given time, right? If a player comes out and goes, I need a pair of cleats, I needed this, I needed that, I need a whatever. We can scan that to him. And at any given moment, we can know what ball player has what equipment where at any given moment. The second thing we can do is we can track where this equipment has been and what's happened to it. They can track every inch of real estate that piece of equipment has covered. So if they hand a player a pair of cleats, you know what he can't do anymore? He can't take it and hand it off on eBay. He can't leave the building and go sell it to one of his boys or whatever. He checks it out. He uses it. He brings it back for them to either place maintenance on it and put it back into the inventory, or to say, okay, it's damaged, we got to get rid of it, or whatever. They can also take the metrics off of it. In these cleats, DK ran X amount of feet, X amount of seconds. His pulse was this, it was that, all these vital signs, whatever. They can track every bit of that by a chip that goes into the heel of a cleat. A chip that goes into the heel of a cleat that players cannot detect is in that cleat when they're wearing that cleat. Sir, is my question mark for the NFL. If your teams have spent so much money, if your teams have done so much R&D, if technology has improved so much that you can instill a microchip into a player's cleat that can tack. Let me try that again. If you can install a microchip into a player's cleat that can track where it is, where it's been, the speed it has been moving at, the exact location in the facility to where the equipment managers can go find it or whatever. If you have all of that tech available to keep track of a pair of football cleats, then why in the world are we not utilizing this to get rid of one of the most important aspects of the football game, spotting the ball? So that we can know this player earned to that yard line, to this spot on the football field. That is where that player was down. That is where that player should be marked as down. That is the yard line that the offense earned. That is the yard line that the defense kept them to. So that when we have a spot like we did on that fourth down and Josh Allen makes a play with the Super Bowl on the line, and he takes a QB snap, and he runs to the left, and he is stacked up by the Chiefs' defense. We can know, down to a centimeter, because you can tell me exactly down to a centimeter where those damn cleats are in the locker room, right? We can know down to a centimeter where the football was. Put a chip in the front. Put a chip in the back. Let those two chips talk to whatever chip reader technology you use and tell that chip reader when you push the button or we heard a whistle or whatever it is that we utilize to signify the end of a play. When that trigger happened, chip number one was exactly and precisely here on the football field, and chip number two was exactly and precisely this in this spot on the football field. Those two chips can tell the reader, this is exactly where we were. And then that chip reader can go, hey, referee, move the ball up 3 inches, back 5 inches, up 6 inches. We can get it exactly right. Because I would say, even if you were a Chiefs fan, if you have football integrity, you would want to say that if Josh Allen earned that first down, he should have been rewarded with a first down. And even if you are a Bills fan, if you have football integrity, you would say, if Kansas City stopped us, they stopped us, and that's the ball game. That's football integrity. Which means in this entire equation, the only place where there is not football integrity is the spotting of the football. That's the one place where there's not integrity. I have a bunch of referees, two of them in particular, who have to just do the best we can. And for a long time, we were good with that because we didn't really have the tech to have an option. We didn't have any options. We couldn't know. When Jalen Hurts dives under a tush-push pile, we can't know where the ball is when he's down. When Josh Allen gets stacked up on a defense and that ball's tucked away real tight and there's three defensive players. Yep, I said twight. When Josh Allen runs into a defensive wall and he's got that ball tucked away real tight and we can't know where it is because we can't see it, there's a way to fix that. And the NFL just won't do it. And if you won't make these fixes, NFL, then why am I to believe that the people that are calling shenanigans on you are wrong? Let's try to keep the show Twite on the way out.
Yeah, I was going to do that.
Golly. Yeah,
that pretty much summed up that whole thing.
Making the only dramatic monologue of the day, and that's what
I
do.
Yeah, well.
Good job, idiot.
I mean, it was so out of place. I don't know why. I mean, anyway, the first thing, I mean, with Glory and all the other things that were talked about today, then you try to do that at the end of the show.
They're very serious topics.
What is wrong with you? All right, the first thing that's Xing is J.D. McDonagh.
J.D. McDonagh. So I have not watched Raw on Netflix. Do we have to call it Monday Night Raw on Netflix? Can we just still call it Raw?
Apparently they do. So
okay.
I would invite you to look up the clip right now because it is very necessary because J.D. is going to be out for some time, but not with what you would think. He's going to be out with the broken ribs and a punctured lung.
Ew. I don't know how to spell McDonagh.
Exactly. It's MC.
Yeah, I got it.
MCD.
All right, we're working on it.
Yeah, yeah. It's
what? Okay, just tell me because I haven't seen it yet. Broken ribs with a punctured lung.
Yeah, but
woof.
But you've got to see the actual thing. He moonsaults off the top of the rope, and he hits the back of his head on the desk, and it's just more proof that his head is the most impenetrable thing in the entire world.
He hit his head so hard.
It punctured his lung.
That he broke a rib.
And broke his ribs.
You ever had a broken rib?
I've had bruised ribs, and it's not pleasant.
I'm going to tell you straight up, and I mean this. A broken rib isn't the worst pain I've ever felt, but it's the most annoying thing in the world because there is nothing you can do to make the pain not happen. There's just not. You have to breathe. It hurts. You have to sit up. It hurts. Sit down. It hurts. Lay down. It hurts. Stand up. Sit down. There is nothing to do when you have a broken lung or broken rib that does not hurt like Hades the whole time.
I had bruised ribs at halftime at the first game in my senior year, and it was purple and yellow. That's how bad it was. And my coach just kicked me and said, get up. So I did.
No, I'm good. I'm good, Coach. I'm just going to die right here.
Yeah, I was breathing.
He's I'm going to just die right here.
That was the old rub some dirt on it. And I did. And
bury me here and name the field after me, Coach. I'm out.
Absolutely. The next thing that's Xing is Superman.
Okay. I don't specifically know why this is trending. I did see it trending earlier, but
people will
check.
Complain about everything. What is wrong with the world? You're going to find something wrong with everything. So they introduced a different clip. For the movie where he's flying,
yep.
And he like spins and he's flying towards the camera, and people are complaining about the look on his face.
So
the look on his face is not, oh, it's CGI. And then James Gunn had to come out and defend and say, no, that's just his face. We didn't CGI it.
Here's what I've recognized about society over the last...
Everybody hating, man.
Over the last handful of months, what I've learned about society, not even handful of years, what I've learned about society is that most people are pretty much apathetic towards most things. It's just that the people who do complain, they're the ones who do it the loudest, right? And when people complain, and they are the only ones that are speaking out and do so loudly, all that people with the megaphone have to amplify is those that complain. I honestly believe that with a few rare exceptions, most things that are like super widely complained about on Twitter, more people like it than hate it. It's just that how many times have you seen a superhero movie commercial and you really liked it and you're like, I have to go to Twitter and say how good this is? Very rarely. But
never.
If you see one and you go, I hate this, you're immediately running to social media.
Okay.
That's why social media is a toxic cesspool and we should all quit it immediately.
Because of my algorithms, I'm going to see all that stuff anyway. All right. The next thing that's Xing is Dakota Kai.
Again, didn't watch last night, so I
well,
no
this
idea.
Wasn't from last night. You did see the incident that happened, the drop kick. I showed it to you.
Oh, yeah.
She's out with a concussion.
Yeah,
for a while.
I'm not shocked. She got drop kicked into the shadow realm.
Yeah, and Shayna Baszler is already online making fun of the fact that she's out. And the only ones left is Io Sky. Everybody else is hurt and out, including Asuka. All right, time for one more, and it is because we don't get enough of this. Taylor Swift.
She's trending because she released a new song.
She's trending because apparently NFL fans hate her.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And
but it's not just...
They think their hate is going to keep her from being shown like a couple times during a game.
Yeah, because for every one of you NFL fans that hates her and is over it, there is one apathetic NFL fan like me who doesn't care, just whatever. And there's two Taylor Swift fans who are like, I'm watching football because Tay-Tay said so.
And by the way, The NFL loves Taylor Swift.
Because for every one of you, there's two Taylor Swift fans. Listen, we got invited to a Super Bowl party. I told the wife, I'm like, hey, we're going to go. And she's like, well, the Chiefs are in it, so Taylor's going to be there. And I said, yeah. And she goes, okay, we can go. Like, that's the only reason she'll do it. Okay, fine by me. I'm getting to watch football. You understand how good that is for me? I get to go to a Super Bowl party because of Taylor Swift? I'm now pro Taylor Swift. I hope she's very sad at the end. No, I don't. I hate the Eagles so much.
And you were already love you, pro James. Taylor Swift anyway.
That's also true. Because the haters are going to hate. Y'all have a great rest of your day. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll see you back here tomorrow to do it all over again, but better on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later.